Ron said to me earlier on, Gordy, thank you so much for that passage of scripture you give me to read. It's pretty dark. So I just passed the book and said, it's the one that Stephen gave me to preach on. This is a difficult passage, Stephen, if you're watching. My day will come. Jeremiah is not the flavor of the month. As Ron said, well, he's known as the weeping prophet. He speaks judgment. But he's speaking judgment to the people, and nothing's happening. The odd thing is that it just appears as if he's ranting on and nothing's happening. And so he's becoming a bit of a laughing stock. But the whole time the people in Judah, remember the 10 tribes have been taken into captivity, they've been decimated. And part of Jeremiah's message is that God's judgment is coming. And the people are just laughing at this message, at this crazy prophet. They don't realize that actually they're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic, because judgment is coming. Jeremiah in chapter 18 and 19, the Lord had told him, go down to the potter's house, watch the potter in action. See him shaping the clay. Chapter 19, go to the potter's house and buy a clay jar from the potter. And then Jeremiah takes it and he smashes it. And he says, this is what the Lord is going to do to Judah. This is what the Lord is going to do to his people because of their disobedience. And this is where we jump in this morning. In chapter 20, Pashur, son of Immer, the chief officer in the temple, heard Jeremiah prophesying all these things, and he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put into the stocks. And he left him there for a night. But in Jeremiah 14, verses 13 and 14, and it's actually just rifled through the whole book, the prophets, the other people like Pashur, are prophesying lies in God's name. Now, if you were there in those days, who would you believe? Would you hear what you want to hear? Or would you believe this man that's been going on for months and nothing's ever happening and coming true? That's a question we have to wrestle with. But nevertheless, Jeremiah was being faithful to his God. He's thrown in the stocks and he's made fun of again and again. Chris Wright in his commentary says, you could shut Jeremiah in, but you could not shut him up. But he's facing, if you like, persecution and difficulty. But in the midst of it, verses 4 to 6, Jeremiah is released from the stocks. Say you could shut Jeremiah in, but you could not shut him up. From verse 4 to 6, he's released from the stocks, and he just lets loose on Pashur. This is what the Lord says, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and with your own eyes you will see them fall by the sword for their enemies, and I will hand Judah over to the king of Babylon, who will carry them away. We'll just stop there. But basically, Jeremiah prophesies to Pashur, the man who'd been persecuting him, but he had the courage and the strength, which is what I was trying to allude to with the children in the children's talk. I picked this picture up. I'm not sure where. I love catching little images. Speak the truth, even if your voice shakes. Jeremiah was prepared to do that, to speak the truth, even if your voice shakes. For us in work, in school, university, whenever we're called to stand for God, to stand for what is right, Are we prepared to speak the truth, even if we're terrified, even if our voice shakes? Paul, writing to a young man, Timothy, says these words: preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. And instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. And hear this: endure hardship, because it'll not be easy. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. People will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And in Jeremiah's time, that's exactly what was happening. Jeremiah was faithful to God and God's message, and it was difficult. But there were other people, church people, who were saying, well, kind of something that was more palatable. And so people dwelt on their messages. Chris Wright also says, for generations, Israel lived under the delusion that covenant blessing could be enjoyed without covenant faithfulness. What does that mean? For years, Israel lived with the delusion that they could live under covenant blessing, that it could be enjoyed without covenant faithfulness. God had said to them, if you come to me and live in the way I instruct, then you will know my blessing and the richness of life in me. But if you don't, and this is the judgment that Jeremiah is promising. Now, not to get on a hobby horse, but I fear that this is the church today. We want God's blessing, and we want God's goodness and all that he has promised for us, but don't ask me to do too much. Lord, just, you know, easy. So we want God's blessing, but actually the sacrifice of the Christian life, offering your body as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Here, easy, hang on a wee minute. So Lord, I want your blessing, but don't ask me to give too much to you. I fear that this is the church today, and at times can be my heart. Jeremiah is suffering persecution because he's being honest to God. Then we come to his prayer. Well, again, in his prophecy, speaking the truth, even though his voice shakes. That's why on Sunday nights we're wanting to look at these subjects, sexuality, culture, and politics, to deal with what God has to say, because these can be very emotive and unpopular, difficult subjects to deal with. But what does God say? And let's have the courage to wrestle with that and then live in the light of that. But we come to Jeremiah's prayer. There are three little things I want to pick up on here, which I just think are astounding. First of all, three pictures. Talk to me. Shout out, please. Brilliant, John. The Ready Breg advert. The little chap with the glow around him. And just, so this is just sad. Karen will shout at me later, but does anybody remember the Not the 9 o'clock News sketch? Do you want your children to glow in the dark? Move to Sellafield. The Ready Breg advert. And the children that took their Ready Breg before they went out in the morning and they went off to school. And there was just this glow around them as they were warm and cozy on their way to school. There was something within them that was giving them this glue. Look at verse 9, please, with me. This is just astounding. So Jeremiah is under pressure, speaking the truth. But he says, if I say, I will not mention him, the Lord, or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. So in the midst of the pain and the persecution, the pressure that Jeremiah is under, he says, I don't want to speak because of all the trouble, but I just have to. It's in me. I need to speak for God. And it's like a fire deep down within me. It reminds me of the story in Acts chapter 4. Again, the birth of the early church. And Peter and John thrown in prison for speaking. And then they're brought before the Sanhedrin. And in being brought before the Sanhedrin, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. You know what, folks? Give me a dose of that. Because in church we are just so namby-pamby. Don't know if that's a theological term. But we're just so weak-willed. And this passion that burns within us, goodness me, where is it? Where is it this morning? Where is it in me? Because it's easy to stand in church and sing songs. But when you're out in the marketplace, it's different. And here Jeremiah, facing just such terrible pressure, says, I just can't not talk about God and say what he wants. Get up and glue. And I wish it was as easy as a wee dose of ready break in the morning. Get up and glue. Passion that was within him. Verse 11. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. And right at the very beginning of his ministry, Jeremiah 1 verse 8, and then again peppered through the book in 15 verse 20, God keeps reassuring Jeremiah, I am with you to rescue and save you. And that's a very reassuring verse on one level, but it's not very reassuring in the other because it keeps coming up. And it means that Jeremiah is still constantly going to be in trouble, speaking the truth. But he knows that God is with him, and he has his protection over him. Look at the verse. God's presence, the Lord is with me. God's power, like a mighty warrior. And look at the little phrases about the persecutors. They will stumble, they will not prevail, they will fail. They will be disgraced. They will be dishonored. Like nasty Natalie and evil Lynn. Are we assured that the Lord is with us like a mighty warrior? And have that passion and that heart to stand for him. Verse 13, just this burst of praise. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. So in the midst of this prayer, just this passion for God comes bubbling out. This knowledge of God's protection and God's hand over Jeremiah in difficult times comes bubbling out. And here in verse 13, just this exclamation of praise, this declaration of confidence in God's power. And then we go into verse 20, or chapter 20, 14 to 18. Cursed be the day that I was born. We won't read it because it's just miserable. But it's just this dwell of self-pity. And it's like Jeremiah has just descended back in to a loss of hope. It's interesting that One of the commentators, R.K. Harrison, says, this section, and this is interesting, depicts a man loudly complaining about his lot in life, yet showing that he is still submissive, loyal, and obedient to God's will. This section depicts a man loudly complaining about his lot in life, and yet showing that he is still submissive, loyal, and obedient to God's will. Because life can be hard, and God's shoulders are big enough for us to moan and groan and complain at him. But we can also still hold on to him. I love the story of the boy with the evil spirit, and he's brought to Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, about trusting, and he says, Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And maybe you feel like that at times. Life is so tight and difficult, and you're hanging on by your fingernails, but you're saying, Lord, I do believe, I trust you, but help me in my doubts, help me in my pity, help me in my fears. I love this quote from Eugene Peterson's book. It's a great book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And he says in the book, all the persons of faith I know are sinners, doubters, uneven performers. And we are secure not because we are sure of ourselves, but because we trust that God is sure of us. Folks, we're in good company. But maybe we feel this sense of pity, and Lord, life is not easy, life is tough. At times, Lord, where are you? But we go back to Jeremiah's prayer and the hope that we find in there. Question. Two questions. How do you feel this morning? Do you feel as if you're spiritually up against it? I don't know your circumstances. Some of you I do, many of you I don't. But do you feel as if, Gordy, it's tight at the minute, I'm under pressure? Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. The book of Lamentations is his lament, just of how difficult things were, yet he held on to and trusted the Lord. And there's a lovely little section, just want to refer to it, in 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul talks, about being weak, having this treasure in jars of clay, little ordinary earthen vessels that are worth nothing. But he says we have the treasure of God's gospel and the good news within us. But we're weak, we're insignificant. He says we're at war, hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down. Paul, sharing the gospel, especially in Corinth, really one of the most known evil cities at the time, just for its degradation. But he says we're winners, because we're not crushed, we're not in despair, we're not abandoned, we're not destroyed. And to read the verse properly, it's, we have this treasure in jars of clay, we are hard-pressed, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, yet not destroyed. And this is the God that we come to this morning. This is Jeremiah's God. The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. His word is in me like a fire shut up in my very bones. Folks, I don't know what your experience is this morning, but I know that we come to a great God who promises to be with us, to be in us, and to work through us. A mighty warrior who can put a fire in our bellies if we only turn to him and trust him. Can we bow for a moment of prayer, and the band will jump back up again, please, guys. Lord, please hear our prayers this morning. That for each of us, with our faces different, so are our needs and our experiences. And yet, Lord God, we turn to you. And we ask that you would renew in us a sense of trust and faith. And Lord, put this fire in our belly that Jeremiah had. that we may hold on to you as our God, as our mighty warrior. And Lord, we ask that you would bring us through our situations, that we may trust you and that we may walk with you in faith. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.